Hello and welcome to the game. I am John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner. Did I get cut off there at the beginning of that, or did I just not hear myself?
No, you're good.
Okay. The music drowns me out sometimes. Now I feel like I need to start this all over again. Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner. Today on the show, it is going to be an eclectic show because, as we discussed yesterday, it's the summer. Not all that much going on right now. We'll talk with Julian Applebaum at 4:30. He's from Draft Express, one of the more trusted NBA mock draft sites. They cover a lot of things with the NBA draft. Going to talk with him about Wesley Iwundu and the chances that he does get drafted when the NBA draft rolls around next month. We've got basically an edition of the People's Court here. There may have been some wrongdoing by one of our own on the show, and Mitch and I did some investigating on that earlier today. We're going to have to bring it to the table. We'll do that at 4:50. And hey, another day, another article, column, whatever you want to call it, about Sean Snyder and Bill Snyder. I do think the one that I read today from Football Scoop brought up a scenario that could make things pretty messy, and we'll talk about that at 5:10. We're out at 5:30 because of the Royals. Once again, you can't be serious at 5:25. We start, though, really with some breaking news. Before we get into the breaking Royals news, I will let you get off a take, if you have one, just from the comeback win last night. The main one I have, I'm going to give you at 4:40. And it doesn't have all that much to do with what actually transpired in the game.
Well, I agree with it if it's what I'm looking at on the rundown for today. From last night, Chris Young was bad, and the Rays are bad, and the Royals were able to look a little bit more like the Royals and get some clutch hits with runners on base. I mean, they just finally looked like a team that was not putting a ton of pressure on themselves, which is a positive sign. They did look somewhat like the old Royals, quote unquote. This was the first time in four extra inning games that they've actually won this year. They were 0-3 in extra innings, which is something that was not characteristic to them in 14 through 16. So that's a positive thing. But, you know, when you're 10 games under 500, it's not two wins in a row that are going to get you really excited. You got to be able to stretch this out into like a four-game sweep or something like that before I'll pay too much attention.
Yes. I don't want to. I was hoping no one was going to come at me with like the, oh, you already said give up, mentally prepare for the fire sale and then everything. Like, they're still 12-20. It was a nice win. It was a fun win. It came in the same type of way that we got used to the Royals winning in 2014 and 2015 and come back. And if you stuck it out through that whole thing, it was fun to watch. It was good. But they need to continue to string things together. Now, today, that's all good and well, and we could have talked about that game, and to me, it's just sort of meh. But I do think a debate that's cropped up now is something we can really sink our teeth into because of breaking news about Christian Colon, one of the second basemen that the Royals have. And, you know, between Raul Mondesi, Whit Merrifield, Christian Colon seemed like the odd man out. He has been designated for assignment, which he is out of options, can't go to the minors for the Royals. So basically what happens now, a team will have a chance to pick him up on waivers, which seems likely. So it is likely that Christian Colon's days as a Royal are done. And that brings a very interesting debate to the table, which is Christian Colon a Royals Hall of Famer? And if I say that right away, to me at least, when I say it right away, it just sounds like, why would you even bring that up? Like, why would you debate Christian Colon being a Royals Hall of Famer? The guy's only played one full season, basically at the big league level. That was last year, 2016, when he played 161 games. But outside of that, no full season with the Royals. He is a career 263 hitter. It's not terrible, you know. It's fairly average. He's just been an average player. But he does have two of the most important hits in franchise history. He had, hits, plays. He's been involved. I'll say this. He's been involved in two of the most important plays in Royals franchise history. He scored the winning run against the A's in the wild card game when Salvador Perez drove him in. And he had the go-ahead hit in extra innings in Game 5 of the World Series that clinched it for the Royals. So does that merit him being a Royals Hall of Famer? Because I appreciate the guy for what he did. I will remember the images of him coming around to score, Salvador Perez knocking him in, his single. I'll remember all that stuff very fondly. But you can't just open the door wide to anybody like this that played any kind of role in the Royals' run here. Otherwise, we're going to be putting Johnny Gomes in the Hall of Fame for his speech.
Do I?
You can't just let everybody in.
Am I catching a whiff of a get-off-my-lawn kind of take from John on this?
I wouldn't say that it's get-off-my-lawn, and I wouldn't say that I, you know, this is not...
Because, you know, what's it to you who the Royals put into their Hall of Fame? Like, how does that really impact the fans?
Well, look, this is not something that I would be passionate enough about to be really upset if they did put him in. So don't take me the wrong way on any of that. I just think it's a very intriguing discussion, and if you want my opinion on it, I'll give it to you here. Is all of this very trivial and you know, in the long run, the big picture, a very trivial thing to be arguing about? Yes, and this is where I have to stop myself from taking too much influence from the Dan Le Batard show, which is basically just a giant parody of all that stuff, and I find myself more and more looking at debates like these and being like, man, this really is pretty stupid that we sit here and do this. But I am intrigued. I am interested. So I'm ready to go with this. Christian Colon's whole legacy started with fans being disappointed. I mean, he was the fourth pick in the 2010 draft.
But see, he always had that was held over him. And I think that to most Royals fans, if you went around on the street in Kansas City and you asked Royals fans to say what the first thing is that comes to mind when you hear the name Christian Colon, well, it's actually pretty impressive that he was able to shake the idea that he was drafted in front of Chris Sale, because that's what was hanging over his head for a while. And I think that now the majority of people would not say that, well, I just relate him to being drafted in front of Chris Sale. They would say, I relate him to the success of the Royals in the playoffs. And when you think about the Royals winning the World Series or getting to the World Series in 2014, I just can't have that image in my head without seeing Christian Colon as a staple of that. And I think that maybe more than anything that he actually did tangibly or statistically holds some weight as far as what you would consider Hall of Fame worthy.
Well, I think it holds some weight, and I think he is going to be remembered because the images of those things surely will be in the Royals Hall of Fame, you know, the literal Hall of Fame that is out there in left field that you can go walk through. I mean, I'm sure Christian Colon's image will be there. I'm fine with them putting up pictures of him involved in those plays, like remember him that way. I just don't think he needs to be a Royals Hall of Famer. I think there's a difference there that he can be still involved, still some memories there. He could still go back and show his kids like, hey, there's me, I was on that team. But he doesn't have to be a Hall of Famer. Because where do we draw the line? I mean, you asked me, so who from this team, who from this group that went to back-to-back World Series are going to be Royals Hall of Famers one day? I think it's a pretty long list. I mean, we're talking about Alex Gordon, Lorenzo Cain, Eric Hosmer.
Salvador Perez.
Wade, yeah, I mean, these are all like locks. Mike Moustakas, probably. Wade Davis, I think, would have to be. And those guys, you would agree, contributed a lot more than Christian Colon did to the 2014 and 2015 efforts. You know, if you're going to start letting little contributions in that, like, is James Shields then a Hall of Famer because he set the tone for the clubhouse and what everybody talked about, that he was the guy that really enforced his will and taught this team how to win? Does he get in? Because I think if you're going to make Christian Colon a Royals Hall of Famer, you have to start talking about those types of guys.
There was even some discussion after the accident about Yordano Ventura. Where does he stand in all of this? Because he kind of personified the attitude of the team through that period of, you know, you can view us as underdogs if you want. We don't care. We're just going to come out and hit you in the mouth. It is complicated because the Royals, I go back to something that Joe Buck said back when Kansas City fans still thought that they...
You quoting had, Joe Buck?
I am quoting Joe Buck. I think it was on the Dan Patrick show that Joe Buck was asked about how good the Royals were, how they stacked up against other teams that he had watched in his career calling the World Series. And he said that the Royals might be the best team that he's ever seen just because of how complete they were, that just because of how error-free and weakness-free they were. And the problem with that is it also meant that the Royals did not have any bona fide superstars that are going to go out and get max contracts or something. but they have so many guys that contribute a little bit. So I don't know where you draw the line as far as who gets into the Hall of Fame and who doesn't.
Well, this is where I'm trying to use those guys as an example and just point out the realistic logistics of everything here and everything that's going to have to be considered. You know, to me, this comes down to more of a, you're making an argument for Christian Colon in an airtight vacuum where, you know, nothing else exists surrounding this. Just he had these two iconic plays. So based on nothing else, he should be in. I'm trying to bring in the rest of the actual context and the rest of the living world that is surrounding this. And I don't think it happens in a vacuum. So to me, because of that, he would not be a Royals Hall of Famer. I mean, like, you putting Raul Ibáñez in because he supposedly had such a great influence on the team in 2014, and he played pretty well back when the, you know, he was there a part of the 2003 run when they had their best season lifetime before all this. Like, where does it stop?
Yeah, I know. We can, but more serious names than like a Raul Ibáñez. How do you feel about Greg Holland being in there?
Yeah, great question.
Dare I say hashtag vote Omar Infante?
No, you don't.
Nori Aoki?
Yeah,
there's a lot of guys.
But then we're talking about putting like the entire roster of the 2014 and 15 Royals.
Josh Willingham.
Yeah. Well, he had a huge play. He had a huge play. That may be the best example of anything that we've had here. He had a huge play in the wild card game to help keep that going and get the Royals to the playoffs, or eventually they made the World Series and then won the World Series the next year. That's the type of example that I think Christian Colon falls under. Now, yes, he did. He played more in a Royals uniform. He contributed more theoretically than Willingham. But that would be why you would put him in, because of that type of play. So to me, it's a no. But I will remember Christian Colon fondly, even though I still. It's weird with Colon. I have mixed emotions because I still am disappointed the Royals took him in front of Chris Sale. That's the one that everybody always.
And that's not his fault.
The White Sox drafted Chris Sale, who's turned into Cy Young caliber pitcher. And the Royals could have had him. Instead, they got Christian Colon. But that I would still not change a thing, obviously. The way it all worked out, don't change a thing. Don't take that chance. Butterfly effect. I don't want to do that at all. So I'm happy that Christian Colon was here. I'm happy it all worked out the way it did. I wish him the best. I'll remember him fondly. Just not fondly enough to be a Royals Hall of Famer.
I know that he kind of has, at least from some of the things that I've been reading today, he has a little bit of that Jamal Charles chip on his shoulder mentality, that he feels like the organization never really did him enough homage by giving him more opportunities. I really hope he doesn't end up somewhere in the AL Central and still with a lot of solid years in front of him. That would really suck if the Royals ended up playing against a really, really good Christian Colon for the next five seasons.
Well, if he's going to be Jamal Charles, we're going to find out about him going to St. Louis here in the next couple days, talking about how he grew up watching Albert Pujols, and that was his hero. Just twist the knife on us. A new Bill Snyder scenario that was brought up in yet another article written this week about Bill and Sean that I think could get messy if this scenario played out. We'll talk about that at 5:10. People's Court, one of us may have committed a sin to the show that we'll discuss at 4:50. When we come back, though, how likely is it that Wesley Iwundu will get drafted? We'll ask Julian Applebone of Draft Express coming up here on the game.